You're the same God today, and the same God tomorrow. Help me see the victory that you already see. Let my faith be today what it will be tomorrow. When I see the victory that you already see, oh, yes, Jesus, I believe, oh. We need a miracle. You are the miracle. By the power of your name, and all for your glory, the sick are healed, the soul is filled, the battle has been won. On your promise I stand, and in faith I believe it, that what I pray in your name, it's already done.
The glory for all things that are good. I always blame myself if I mess up, but I always give God all the glory and praise if there's anything good. Amen? Because He gets the glory. We're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 12 this time. Remember to bring your children Wednesday night classes. We have a lot of kids on Wednesday night from 5 to 18. Our classes for Wednesday. We have a great group. It won't be long. We'll be starting up our Wednesday night meals again before the service, right when school starts. Getting ready to have our new group for the School of Ministry come in. So excited about that. We've got a good group coming. And wanted to say that I thank you again for your support in missions. We are fulfilling the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is God's plan. And he deals with the poor often in the Word of God, giving to the poor, praying for the poor, meeting the needs of the poor. And that's what this church is doing. You're a part of that. And I want to thank you. Again, we give honor to the Marino family for everything they did in El Salvador and what they're going to continue to do through our church. We'll be going to El Salvador next Monday, 1 week from tomorrow. I've got a team of three, Brother Justin and Rebecca here, and Brother Jose will be going early, 5 days early, to help El Salvador to get everything ready to go for four different churches that are coming. So our World Harvest Missions is really expanding, and other churches are getting on board with us, helping us, and we're so excited about that. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can come into the sanctuary, the holy place, the place that is set apart for you, O God. We thank you for every person in this place. Lord, every child of God that's been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, we are yours. We have been purchased by the work that's been done on Calvary. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would anoint our ears, that you would help us to hear the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. I pray that it would find an entrance to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd work the miraculous in this house today. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise for it, the honor and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen. Taking my text from the 16th verse of Scripture, Paul the Apostle says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the shield of faith. I want everyone to hear me this morning. From the moment that you got saved, born again of the Spirit of God, the moment that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you and I entered into a warfare. You entered into a battle with the prince of the power of the air. The demonic forces of hell are against you and I as children of God today. And listen, we must not ever let that slip from our mind. We oftentimes get it caught up with all of the cares of this life, work and play and family and all these things, that we forget that there's a real devil out there and he seeks for your demise. My Bible says the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. You and I must be sober, vigilant, always aware, because that devil is seeking to destroy you, your family, this church, and every ministry coming out of this church. But I can tell you, I read the last page of the book. If we continue, we're going to win. If we overcome, we're going to win. Ladies and gentlemen, he said that greater is he who is in you and I than he that is in the world. We're so busy oftentimes that we forget about the warfare. But if today God would open our spiritual eyes, if we could just see in the supernatural what's going on in the realm of the supernatural, the demonic powers that are moving about in the atmosphere, I can tell you it would shock people beyond your imagination. It would scare some people half to death if you could see the demonic principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what's going on, whether you can see it with your natural eye or not. I can tell you there's a real devil out there, demonic forces that are moving about in the atmosphere. We blame everybody and everything for things that happened wrong in our life. I can tell you something. We got to look beyond the flesh and blood, because the Bible says we don't war against flesh and blood. It ain't your boss. It ain't your spouse. I can tell you something. It ain't even a mean neighbor. The devil works through people and he works in situations. It's time that we stop rebuking people so much and start rebuking the enemy of our soul, because he is moving about and he seeks to destroy everything that is good. Hell's army is always planning its next attack on me, and it's planning its next attack on you. Strategy. I've preached on this many times. When the Bible says principalities and powers, we get our word architect from the word in the Greek, principality. It means a very high-ranking, intelligent being that's always planning, always scheming to get you caught in a temptation, to end up getting you pulled away from God, to get you to doubt God's word. It's all kinds of attacks against you. The principality plans the attack, and the powers are those workers. They're the drones that go and attack your mind constantly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you today, it is real. There's a real devil out there, and he's seeking to destroy us. And we must not be ignorant to his devices. We know that we are equipped to overcome him. We are equipped in battle to overcome. But he tells us to do something in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And we can see in the word of God that there's armor for every part of the body. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. But listen, folks, I've seen too many people fall by the wayside and fall out of the kingdom because we're ignorant to the devil's devices and we don't have a military mindset. Let me say this to you, Harvest Time Church. This church, the Last Day Church, must become a militant church. We must have a military mindset. Oh, listen, Paul the Apostle, or Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent must take it by force. It's time that we stop playing little games with the enemy. It's time time that we take back what he's stolen from us, and we need to take back what we've given to us. That's the only time that you're required to be an Indian giver, is when you take back what you gave to the devil. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we do what God's commissioned us to do. We must be that militant church. Oh, here it is in our text. He says the devil attacks us with wiles and schemes. Trickery. He is a very intelligent being. And listen, he may get you in one area one day, and you catch on to what he's doing, and he'll work on you in another area the next day. Listen, he's not going to attack you the same way all the time. He is a very highly intelligent being. Schemes and trickery. And what does he say to do whenever he comes to attack you? He says, having done all to do to stand, just stand. Just stand there. Oh, listen, not standing in my own ability or my own strength, but I stand in the strength of the power of Almighty God, having done all to do to stand, just stand. To stand means to hold a critical position during the time of an enemy attack. Biblical standing in the image of a soldier refusing to yield up even one inch of ground to the attacking foe. It is the image of a soldier on the defensive, protecting the ground that has already been taken from the enemy. Listen to me today. As a soldier of the cross, we've got to stand our ground. You've got to put your feet flat-footed on the enemy's territory and tell him no more. Listen, he cannot read your mind. It's time that we start lifting our voices. It's time that we start showing him by our actions that we're not going to take it anymore. Some of you have got to get a militant mindset today. I'm tired of what you're doing to my family. I'm tired of what you've done to me. This church, we're taking it back, Satan. We're going to pray. We're going to push you back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having done all to do to stand, just stand. He says to put on the whole armor of God. There's names of each piece of armor. He says there's the loins that's girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation. And then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I could preach a series on every piece of the armor, but this morning I want to preach on the shield of faith. But before I do, I must bring up a very important point about the shield of faith. It is imperative to point out that the shield and the loin belt were inseparably linked together. The belt of truth. Listen to me today. Whenever I'm going to explain this. When he says above all taking the shield of faith, does it make it more important? Listen, the loin belt is the written word of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you there's nothing more important than the word of God. You say, well, it says above all. I'll explain in a moment what it means. But you can't even have faith without the word of God, because he says in Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want your faith to arise and you believe in the supernatural? Get the word of God inside of you. Begin to read the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Obey the word of God. I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a fire shut up in your bones. Something will come alive inside of you, because it is a living word. Do you want your faith to become alive? Get the word of God inside of you. Meditate on it. Walk in it. Do it. Believe it. Trust in it. Stand on the word of God, and I can tell you your faith will become alive. Attached to the loin belt of truth is the shield, which represents faith. The conclusion is simple, but extremely important. Your faith is attached to the word of God. The presence or absence of faith is determined by the presence or absence of the word of God. Hear me. I have counseled so many people that they're Christians. They love God. They're in the church. But they cannot believe the word of God. They come to me and they say the same thing over and over again. I'm struggling in this area. And I'll go straight to the book, black and white. And I'll say, here's what the Bible says. And I'll say, well, I know. I know what the Bible says. I believe that. No, you don't believe it. You've got to stand on the word of God. Listen to me today. I have failed many times since I've been saved. But I can tell you, my Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. I just believe the word of God. I praise the Lord that I haven't struggled with that, because whenever I fail God, I know what the book says. It says that if I repent, leave that sin on the altar, get it under the blood, I am forgiven. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care if it makes sense to your carnal mind or not. You must believe the word of God. I am forgiven by the blood of the cross. The blood makes me clean. Listen, I may not line up with the word of God. I'm in error, not the word. It's time once again that we lift up our shield of faith, but the shield is only as strong as the word that's in your heart. Have you been in the word lately? How much have you been in the word? Have you been praying and seeking God? Have you been believing the word, trusting in the word? I can tell you, if you haven't, your faith is weak. We wonder why. We wonder how to conjure up this supernatural faith to believe God for the impossible. We wonder how the reformers prayed great prayers and the sick got healed and the dead were raised. Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead. People in Africa today, legitimate testimonies of the dead being raised. Why? Because they don't have all the resources that we have. Listen, their faith is alive. And we say, well, how do we get that kind of faith? Let me tell you how you get that kind of faith. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. That belt of truth is linked directly to the shield of faith. Oh, listen, when you get the word inside of you, you can hold up the shield of faith in the enemy. Everything he brings your way, you can overcome because you know what the word declares. Everybody may be doing something else and everybody may be going the wrong direction. But ladies and gentlemen, if you'll stand firm, flat-footed on the word of God and hold up the shield of faith, there is no weapon formed against you that can or ever will prosper. My response is the same. What does the word say? What does the Bible say? I know this is simple preaching, hear me, but listen, there's too many people in the church that will say, well, I just don't know if this is right. Listen, if you want to get deceived in the last day, have the mindset, well, I just don't know if that's right or not. Because there is a way that seems right unto man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Because everybody's going the wrong direction in this last day. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And Jesus said, many there be which go thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Listen, most of the time, the word of God don't make sense with my carnal mind. Well, listen, pitch every idea in the trash that doesn't line up with the word of God. If the Bible says it, it's right. Do you hear me? I said, if the Bible says it, it's right. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the circumstances are. The Bible is right. Why is it in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus said in the last day, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived? Because they got away from the word of God. They got away from the word of God. That belt of truth and the shield of faith are forever linked together. Do I believe in a personal word from God? Absolutely. Do I believe that God can speak to somebody and them come speak to me? Absolutely. But I can tell you, it better not contradict the word of God. Oh, I believe in a personal word from somebody who prays. But a personal word will never supersede this word. Give me a word, preacher. Well, I got a whole Bible full of words. We need to line up with this first. We need to check the Bible first. Listen, I don't want no word from nobody that don't line up with the word of God. Listen, Pentecostals are the worst in the world. To get into error because we hear voices. We want to hear listen, God can speak to you through prayer, through individuals, through the preaching, through circumstances, but it must never supersede or deviate from the Word of God. This is first and foremost. This is the living Word. This is Jesus right here, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jesus manifested in paper. I can touch Him. I can feel the Word of God. This is the only armor for the Word, for the soldier, that you can get a hold of and touch. The belt of truth. I find it interesting when he talks about the shield of faith, he says, above all. There was a time I really thought he was saying the shield of faith was the most important. But if you do a very careful study of Scripture, it shows something different. The loin belt of truth, the Bible, the written Word of God, is the most important piece of weaponry we possess. How do we know that the Word of God is more important? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But you'll see in this text, Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. What does this phrase above all mean? The phrase is taken from a Greek word, epipaizon, which means over. It means before or over. So what he is saying is the shield must go over everything else and before everything else. That soldier, whenever he went into battle, he took it above everything else. Above. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy's on a constant assault against your mind, against your life. You better take up the shield of faith. You must believe God. You must trust His Word. Your worldview must be filtered through the Word of God. We better turn off social media. We better turn off that television, because I can tell you that, listen, I just pull up one video. I clicked on the videos on Facebook. Man, wickedness like crazy. Instagram. Oh, you and I cannot be constantly gobbling that up and not be affected by it. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it will affect your life. We better be very careful. Our worldview, the way we view everything, must be filtered through the Word of God. Well, this church is doing different. This preacher on television says that's not the way it is. And this denomination is going this way. And mom and dad used to believe that way, but they don't believe that way anymore. Well, I don't care what anybody says. The Bible is still right. Hold up the shield of faith. Believe God's Word. You can take it all the way to the bank and cash that check, because God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Did you know you must maintenance the shield of faith? Let me explain something about how the shield was made in Roman times, in Bible times. It was made of leather, first of all, but it had six layers, the shield. That doesn't look like it's got some metal on that one, but not the ones that Paul was referring to. It had six layers of leather on it. It was made of animal skin. Therefore, there was a constant maintenance of the shield. It was necessary for the Romans to oil the shield, the leather, constantly. Each morning when a soldier woke up, he would reach for his shield in a small vial of oil. After saturating a piece of cloth with heavy ointment, he would thoroughly rub the oil into the leather and shield to keep it soft, supple, and pliable. Woo! If that don't show you a picture of what that shield of faith, and how we have to have the anointing, the oil of the Spirit, to make our faith alive, I don't tell you what would. They had to take that vial of oil constantly. That's why we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more after salvation. I said there's more of His glory. There's more of His power. There's a separate, definite work after salvation. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. I still believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. I still believe in the oil of the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, and whenever you get in that prayer closet and you get filled with overflowing of the oil of the gladness, the oil of the Spirit of God, I can tell you something, that oil come into that shield of faith, and whenever the enemy comes, and I can tell you there's a lot of people who have shields, but that leather is dry and cracked and it's tearing to pieces. Why? Because there's no oil in their life. I'm going to tell you, without prayer, you will shrivel up, you will die, you will have no life inside of you. How many of you want some oil this morning? I want some oil. I want to rub it on the shield of faith so we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you ignore faith and allow it to go underdeveloped, never seeking a fresh anointing of God's Spirit to come upon your life, your faith won't be soft and supple and pliable enough to stand up under the challenges that come your way. Because I can tell you something, in the very near future, we will be persecuted, the church of the living God. We will be persecuted. If Jesus Christ was persecuted, hey, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. We're too loved by the society around us. I believe in showing the love of God. I believe in helping people and having a Christ-like spirit. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're full of God's Spirit, when you have the oil of the Holy Ghost oozing out of you, it's going to bring conviction to the lost and the dying of this world. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be under attack. Let me ask you a question. Do you have oil on your shield today? Are you ready to withstand all of the attacks of the enemy? I can tell you, I don't know if I'm ready in my own mindset, but greater is he which is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, give me fresh oil for my shield today. One more thing to take care of that shield. Before a soldier went to war, he placed his shield in a tub of water. Man, so first oil and then water. He'd leave that shield soaking in water. That's probably why he had to keep oil on it, because he'd put it in a tub of water. He would wait till the water would cause the leather to start taking it in and absorb into the shield. Why did Roman soldiers saturate their shields with water? To quench the fiery darts that were constantly shot at them. Even when those dangerous flaming arrows hit their target, the wet surface of the shields would extinguish them on impact. These water-saturated shields gave the soldier the upper hand in battle by putting out the enemy's fire. Hear me tonight, this morning. We must make a certain that we are allowing the Holy Ghost to give us that fresh anointing. And we must saturate our faith by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen? That's what he says in Ephesians. Paul said, the washing of the water in the Word. Why is it that I preach the basics of reading the Word of God, walking in the Word of God, God in prayer? Because the old weapons still work, ladies and gentlemen. I said the old weapons still work. Fasting and prayer and the Word of God. It is something the devil doesn't want you to do. You say, well, it seems so simple, preacher. I can tell you, everything in hell's arsenal will keep you out of that prayer closet. He'll keep you from reading the Word of God. He'll tell you, you don't need to fast. You're not one that can fast, because you get a headache. Well, welcome to my world. We all get a headache when we stop drinking coffee and stop eating food. But listen, that's what it's all about. This old flesh has got to die. I'm telling you, the old weapons still work for the church. The washing of the Word, the anointing of the Spirit. Listen, it coincides with that shield. It needed to be oiled down. If you want your faith to work, if you want your faith to become alive, get back in the Word of God, get back at an altar, and God will move in a powerful way. We wonder why. I can tell you what the problem is. We're not energized by the Spirit. We're not made alive by the washing of the water, by the Word. Listen, this gives us a new perspective to this morning on the shield of faith. Listen, it ain't just hold it up and believe in God. This comes, listen, every man's given a measure of faith. God gives every man a measure of faith. But as you read the Word of God and begin to walk in the Word of God, I can tell you, your faith begins to increase. Your faith begins to come alive. I don't know about you today, but I want a living faith to believe God, because we're going to face some things in the next coming months and years that if you can't believe God, you're going to be in trouble. I want to believe God for the impossible. I want to believe God. I tell the story often because it's such an inspiring story to me. Brother J.D. and Sister Charlotte's son, Keith, he died of cancer. What a tragic thing. He was a very young man in his late 20s, Brother Scott. And whenever he was in hospice, he had gotten down so small. And in hospice, as you know, they give you very strong pain medicine. And he began to see things, and he was confused because of that pain medicine. And he made a statement, I believe, to his brother Scott. He said, you know something? And he began to tell him what he was seeing and what he was experiencing. And here's what he said. He said, I'm just going to stick to the things that I know that I know. Man, when I heard that, Brother Scott, the first time you told me that, I thought to myself, man, that'll preach right there. We ought to put that on T-shirts and sell them. I'm just going to stick to the things that I know that I know. What was he saying? The things I was reared in, the Word of God, the Spirit of the living God. Whenever you're confused and everybody's doing something different, you need to go back to the pattern, which is the Word of God. He said, I'm just going to stick. What was he saying? I don't understand what's going on around me. And there's a pull from the left and there's a pull from the right, but I'm not going to go either direction. I'm going to stick to the things that I know that I know. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get our minds made up. We're going to stand flat-footed on the Word of God, and we're going to stand for truth. I'm going to stick to the things that I know that I know. Listen, the devil wants that mind. He's after that mind. The shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You may ask, what are the fiery darts of the wicked? The military of the New Testament times used three types of arrows. First, there were regular arrows, similar to the arrows one would shoot from a bow today. Second, there were arrows that were dipped into tar, set on fire, and then shot through the air. Third, there were arrows containing combustible fluids that would burst into flames upon impact. Listen, the arrows in Ephesians chapter 6 and 16 are called fiery darts. If the Roman army had fortified its position so that the enemy couldn't easily break in and destroy it, the opposing enemy would revert to these deadly fiery darts. Their facility was fortified. Listen, you and I have been fortified. We're children of God. We're in a safe place, aren't we? Listen, I'm not going to go back to that world. I'm not going to go back to the bar room. I'm not going to go back to the things I used to be. I'm fortified in the city of God. Praise the name of the Lord. It was whenever Jesus looked at Peter, whenever he told all the disciples, eat my flesh and drink my blood or have no part with me. The Bible says many went away because they couldn't receive the hard sayings. Jesus, very hurt and disappointed that they walked away to their own eternal death, he looked at Peter and the rest and said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, where will we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we believe you're the Christ. Listen, I've already seen and tasted of the goodness of the Lord. I don't want to go back to that world. I know what that world is. I am fortified in the city. Well, just like in these times, whenever they're fortified and the enemy couldn't get to them one way, he would shoot fiery combustible darts their way that would catch on fire. Listen, the enemy will come against my mind in a different kind of way. He'll come against your mind in a different kind of way. If he can't get you to fall to some cardinal sin, he'll begin to attack your mind. You're going to die of cancer. Your finances are going to go under. You're not going to make it. Your children, they're never going to serve God. I'm telling you, all kinds of fearful thoughts. Your marriage is going to be over. All kinds of things the enemy's constantly warring against the church with. What are those? They're fiery darts. You're fortified as a child of God. You're in the city of God. But I'm going to tell you something. God will constantly allow the enemy to attack your mind. He allows the enemy to attack. But listen, we don't have to be overcome by the attacks of the enemy. We don't have to be overcome by those fiery darts. It could be some kind of an emotional thing. It can be some form of a temptation. Listen, those fiery darts come in many forms and fashions. It can cause your emotions to get into a stage of rage, anger, anxiety, unbelief, or worry. Fiery darts. Temptation to move into sin. Unbelief to just not believe God when His Word has spoken it. Listen, even some of the strongest Christians that I have counseled have fallen by the fiery darts of the enemy. I know it because I've met with them. I've talked with them. Listen, either we believe the book or we don't. We've got to get back to saying, listen, I don't understand this, but I'm going to believe it. Our problem is we reason too much in the natural mind. We try to reason and wonder why this thing happened. We try to reason on why I'm going through this, or why my family's going through this, or why this didn't happen. And the enemy, that's a fiery dart from the enemy. There's an attack on your life. And if you're not careful, if you don't keep your mind on God, if you don't have that belt of truth on, if you don't have oil that's been constantly rubbed on that shield of faith, if you have not soaked it in the washing of the water of the Word, I can tell you when pressure gets hard enough, you'll end up wanting to throw in the towel. Well, I'm here to commission you, don't you dare throw in the towel. You hold on to God's unchanging hand. He's as good as He's ever been. The Word's still truth. It's still right. And God's still going to come by the way of the rapture. I don't care what the internet says. There is going to be a rapture of the church of the living God. We're getting out of this place, ladies and gentlemen. It could happen today. It could happen tonight. It could happen when I'm in Donnelly in Honduras. It doesn't matter. I'm going to meet you in the air someday if we'll hold on to God's unchanging hand. The shield of faith protects against the arrows of temptation also. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here it is right here. I've been tempted throughout the years. For 26 years, 25 years I've been saved. And whenever I felt weak, like, oh man, I don't know if I can handle this, I'd hold up the shield of faith. Here's what I would do. I would remember what the Word said in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, the belt of truth. It's connected to the shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit has to be inside that belt. Amen? And the Holy Ghost would bring back to my memory 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen, when I reminded myself, when the Holy Ghost brought it to my memory, something inside of me came alive. That living Word came alive. And here's what I did. I held up the shield of faith and I overcame, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because of the Word of God, because of the truth of God. Somebody needs to hold their shield up. Somebody needs to get some oil on that leather. Somebody needs to soak that thing in some water today. I can tell you it'll change what you're going through. The enemy's goal is to lodge an arrow of unbelief in your mind that will eventually destroy you. Maybe that arrow is a thought that says that you're going to lose everything. Maybe that's a thought in your mind that you're going to fail at everything you attempt to do. Maybe there's another thought that says that in the last day, whenever all of these economic woes hit, you're not even going to have money to survive. It's one of the enemy's arrows. And if they lodge in your mind and you begin to believe that lie, your belief in that lie will most likely empower it to become a reality in your life. Did you hear me? When you believe the lies of the enemy, the fiery darts of the wicked, if you don't deal with it, you don't hold up the shield of faith, you start believing it, eventually it'll become a truth to you and you'll fall into it. Can we have someone come to the piano this morning? The shield of faith. This is one aspect. This is one area of the soldier of the cross. We have to understand something. Every one of us go through different things. You've been delivered. You've been delivered from that old world out there. Praise the Lord. Do you remember whenever you were saved? You remember whenever you were just radically transformed by the power of God? Has anybody ever heard my testimony? I won't tell you again this morning. But let me just say this to you. He doesn't come at me the same way that he used to. It's different. I'm fortified in the kingdom of God. So he shoots those combustible, fiery darts to hit me in the mind. I was counseling recently an individual that got victory in one area. Their eyes were open in one area. And then the enemy began to work on them in another area, bringing guilt upon them because they were wrong for so long. And whenever their eyes were open, they were heading in the wrong direction. But God opened their eyes, made the devil so mad that he changed his hat from the deceiver and he put the hat on of the accuser. Satan wears many diabolical hats in his satanic ministry. He removed the hat of deception because their eyes were open. And then he put on the hat of the accuser of the brethren and said, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. How could God forgive you? He'll even tell you you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He'll even tell you the Spirit of God has left you. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the definition of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. It's a continual, persistent, consistent rejection of the cross and the Christ as presented by the Holy Ghost. Whenever a man or a woman, boy or girl resists God so much and they don't even want God. They don't even want Christianity. They hate this Christ. That's whenever you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And only God's the one that judges whether a man's committed the unpardonable sin. If you're concerned that you've committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't. If you're worried about it, you haven't. Because if you've committed the unpardonable sin, you would not even care. And you wouldn't be in this church this morning, even if somebody cuffed and shackled you, you wouldn't be here today. I don't believe that. It's the hardest form of the heart. Fiery darts of the wicked. He's been shooting at many of you in this sanctuary recently. No, you haven't committed sins. You haven't gone out and done the things you used to. You haven't been lying and cheating. You didn't go to the bar. You ain't robbed a bank. I hope not. Can we stand? But what you've done and what I've done many, many times is I've allowed the enemy to wear me out with thoughts. Unbelief would enter into my heart. Unbelief. Just not believing God's word. Just not believing. Being afraid. Listen, here's what the word says. We need to get back to the word. I'm willing to die. I feel 100% in my heart today that I'm willing to die for this word. I tell the story about Brother Duke Downs. When the Iron Curtain came down in Russia, whenever the wall was, I guess it was back in the early 80s when Brother Clendenin first went into Russia and Brother Duke Downs was one of the first ones with him. Brother Downs testified. Brother Clendenin wasn't with him. Brother Clendenin was in Beaumont, Texas. And the interpreters, the ministers in Russia, they had set it up on the square in one of the major cities in Russia. And the KGB... matter of fact, they had Brother Duke Downs' picture in Russia on billboards in Russia, giving the time, the services, and everything because all that had crumbled. But that KGB, that was still behind the scenes in Russia, and they sent word that if Duke Downs showed up in that square to preach, they were going to kill him. So the ministers in Russia, they hid Brother Downs in an apartment for days. And he said, I was terrified. And he said, I went into prayer. It's like the Spirit of the Lord took him into a vision while he was praying. And it showed him, it was like the top of his sanctuary roof looking down over his head, gave him a vision of what he had preached several months before. He took him in a vision. And he remembered the message, and he could see the top of his head preaching. And he was preaching on being fearless for Christ and making a stand in this last hour. And if you can't stand for him, you can't live for him. And he said, I watched that. And he said, I cried out to God and I asked him to forgive me. If he would just give me courage. Well, in that prayer meeting, he did. He said something took place in his life right there. And he said, when I came out of that prayer meeting, I feared nothing, and I haven't feared anything since. He said, I was a fearless man. He said, I could care less if I died. He said, I'm ready to go to the square. I'm ready to die for Christ. Pretty powerful. He said that they all gathered together. There was like 10, 12, 13 of the ministers and interpreters. And he said, as they prayed, they held hands together in a circle. And he said, it was like a fire. He said it was like a buzzing going through the hands that were held. And he said the energy in that place was amazing. The power of God's Spirit was amazing. And he said, as I preached, the KGB were there. They never did one thing. As he preached, he said, I looked at the lady beside me that was interpreting, and it was almost like I was preaching into a mirror and interpreting. He said, it was almost as everything I said, the interpreter would say it under the anointing so quickly. It was powerful. And that night, many, many, many got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in Russia. What am I saying? I'm saying the fiery darts of the enemy can come against your mind to bring fear, anxieties, and completely paralyze you and I from doing what God's called us to do in this last day. You must hold up the shield of faith. You must stand on the Word of God. I told my kids, if I backslide, don't you dare backslide. Hold on to God. Make it to heaven. I don't plan on backsliding. But whatever you do, hold on to God. We're almost there, church. I can almost see the lights of the city of God. I'm telling you, we're almost home. We're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. But you're not going to make it unless you hold up the shield of faith. I close with this. The enemy's after your faith more than anything. Whenever Peter, right before the death of Christ, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Peter's like, Jesus. Maybe them. Maybe those guys. You're talking Peter here. Peter, Jesus, not me. I'll never do it. They came and got Jesus. Fear gripped the hearts of every one of those disciples. And Peter's there that night, terrified, and he's warming himself by the fire. A little girl sees him and she says, hey, you're one of the disciples of Jesus. I don't even know the man. Who, me? The very one that said, I'll never deny him, denied him when a little girl asked. And then there was another denial, and then a third denial. And then the rooster crowed, and Peter, the Bible says in one of the Gospels, he turned around and Jesus was walking away and he seen Jesus. Jesus made eye contact with him. He went and wept bitterly. The fiery darts of the wicked had been shot at Peter all night long. You might as well just take your life. It's over. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. Peter remembered the words of Jesus. He said this. Jesus said, before he ever did it, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but after you have been converted, strengthen the brethren. What Jesus was saying to Peter was, I'm going to forgive you. You're going to learn a lesson from this. You go back and strengthen your brothers. Listen to me. He's after your faith. Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you in that dark hour that your faith fail not. If it weren't possible for your faith to fail, Jesus would have never told Peter that he was praying that his faith would not fail. Did that automatically mean that Peter's faith wouldn't fail? No. Because the Lord Jesus will never, God Almighty will never override the free will of man. He's praying for you. He's praying for every one of us that our faith will not fail. That's what it all comes down to. You're either going to make it according to your faith in God's word, or something's going to happen so harsh and so devastating that you're going to say, it's just not worth it. Don't let your faith fail. Every head bowed, every eye closed around this house. Father, I preach what you give me this morning. I know that our faith in many areas are being put to the test with many, many trials, many attacks. The enemy, satanic forces are constantly warring against the church, against children of God in this house. Lord, there's been too many times that we have not held up the shield of faith. There have been too many times that we have, but we found out that we haven't oiled our shield and it just didn't work. There have been too many times that we didn't soak that in the water of God's word and the shield ended up catching on fire and it wasn't true all along. Lord, I'm asking you to help this congregation today. Lord, this is a message that we've got to really get a hold of in this last hour. Maybe somebody in this house today, Lord, is struggling. Whether in to give up, throw in the towel. Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen them today. Empower them, help them in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you, every person in this house that can physically make it to these altars, I want to pray with you. I want you to come and find a place to kneel, stand against the wall. Listen to me. You will either make heaven or you will miss heaven according to the shield of faith in your life. You see, many of us have not faced some of the worst disasters we could ever face. But the greatest disaster could happen to you tomorrow. Tomorrow. What are you going to do when your faith is truly put to the test?
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me holiness. Word of God, speak.
you pour down like rain, washing